This is Out and About on Peoria Public Radio. I'm Nathan Irwin.
And I'm Jen Gordon with Arts Partners of Central Illinois. Today we're talking with David Commande, Artistic Director and Conductor of the Heartland Festival Orchestra, about their season closer. The concert is entitled Triple Shot of Tchaikovsky. David, welcome back to Out and About.
Great to be here.
So first of all, I love that name, Triple Shot of Tchaikovsky. So we can all guess what's on the program for
you
this
betcha.
Concert.
Yeah.
Let's start with the Fourth Symphony, because you are featuring that as a key piece on the program. What sets the Fourth Symphony apart from the other symphonies that Tchaikovsky has produced?
Well, the six symphonies are all very strongly individual in their qualities. When you start talking about the fourth and the fifth and the sixth, you're getting to obviously later in his career and in his life, you have a gradual intensification of the expression in these symphonies. He becomes ever more powerful. The fourth is a barn burner. It's amazing. It's very famous for its fast passages for the winds. But he'll do something unexpected, like having a section of the symphony that's the strings in pizzicato, plucking the strings only, and then have a trio to that that's the winds. So these are highly characteristic and special qualities of the fourth symphony. It's getting into that realm of the amazing, fabulous, fantastic, bombastic qualities that are so characteristic of the Tchaikovsky that the general public knows. So the fourth is quite something, and in each in its own ways, the other symphonies, of course, step forward on this path in his development.
You know, it's always interesting to look at a composer's body of work, and particularly those later pieces, because that's usually where the composer has really sort of come into his own style and his own modes of expression. And so when you give a piece like this to the orchestra, do the players enjoy playing with these, you know, very idiomatic and very distinctive sort of Tchaikovsky moments?
Well, for any musician who's playing in orchestras, I assume plural, because, you know, our musician play and all play in multiple orchestras, they have opportunities to play iconic repertoire, and they will remember it, and it won't be a singleton, but on the other hand, it won't be regularly. And so a piece like Tchaikovsky's Four, they may have done in university or a conservatory, or they may have done it once or twice in their careers, and they remember it because it's an amazing experience. And so when it comes back for them, it's a kind of a treat, at the same time that it's a challenge, because this symphony is amazingly demanding on the virtuosity of the individual players. So it's a little bit like soundposts or signposts along the way, I should say. Beethoven's Ninth Symphony might be one of them, or Beethoven's Fifth Symphony, or the 40th of Mozart. You know, there are these particular pieces that are really welcomed and have a special place in the heart of the players.
And speaking of iconic and demanding repertoire, we have the Tchaikovsky's Piano Concerto being performed by Michael Brown. You've worked with Michael before. This is, I believe, his third time back to Peoria.
Mm-hmm.
But previously, he's performed Beethoven.
Mm-hmm.
So what are you looking forward to him bringing out in a performance featuring Tchaikovsky?
Well, you know, Michael Brown, with his terribly exotic name, he is already well along in a career, but he also has this quality of a rising star. He's had some amazing recognition. He received an Avery Fisher Career Grant. He's also been recognized by Lincoln Center as an emerging artist in 2018. And these distinctions don't come to everyone. They come to very few, and they also come kind of in secret. You know, the organizations that award them are watching what's going on out there, and they don't say, well, who would like to apply for this? Michael Brown never applied for those things. So it's a recognition of his amazing qualities as a musician. Now, though he was here for Beethoven only on our stage, he also played chamber music and recitals on the side while he was here. So I was already familiar with his virtuosity and the breadth of his musicality. And I was, of course, impressed with that, as well as his wonderful nature as a human being. So he's got the chops.
Mm-hmm.
This I already knew. And I enjoy casting against type. not that he's a Beethoven type, but still, I enjoy that contrast between what's been done and then something new. And he's really looking forward to it, too. We were chatting the other day, and he's got two Steinway 9-foots in his apartment.
Lucky
but
man.
They're from, one of them's from the 1880s and the other's from the 1890s. They're actually Tchaikovsky vintage. They have names, Octavia and Daria, and they have two different qualities. And Jen's experience with Steinway, the tradition, you'll appreciate that. So anyway, Michael will be amazing. When you perform with a soloist, of course, you're always in conversation about the music, but you're noticing their sense of pulse, mm-hmm. how they go, how they speed up and slow down, how they shape a phrase. And all of that was present in Beethoven, in Beethoven's language, that will be really powerful when he's playing Tchaikovsky.
And so let's talk a little bit about the piece he'll be playing, Tchaikovsky's Piano Concerto No. 1. Where does this sort of fit in that constellation of the great piano repertoire?
Well, some people say it's one of the hardest to play of any. It's and not just for going fast. It's the combination of the notes. It's the awkwardness of it. In fact, Michael and I were talking about it, and he was saying, "Well, it's brilliant, but it's pretty clear that Tchaikovsky wasn't writing to what felt good under the hand." Mm-hmm. And as impressive as it is, it's not as simple as just scales in octaves. All of that is astonishingly virtuosic. The piano stands up to the entire orchestra. You know, the concerto is supposed to be this conversation, but thank goodness we have the power of a concert grand of a Steinway D, because it really needs to stand up to a full romantic-sized orchestra with all of that power, all of that brass. And, of course, the way Tchaikovsky writes, he gets every bit of sound you could wish for. But the other thing I think is interesting about the concerto is that it tells a story. Mm-hmm. Generally, a concerto is supposed to be about the virtuosity of the player, of the soloist. And it's usually supposed to be absolute music, which is to say it's not supposed to tell a background story. And, of course, Tchaikovsky didn't provide one for the concerto, but when you listen to it, you feel like this is the struggle of a romantic hero. And it's so easy to tell a story for yourself as you listen to this concerto. Back and forth, struggles, triumph. you know, the middle movement is a lot like a dance. And that's the way Michael thinks of it, and I agree with him wholeheartedly. And of course, we also know Tchaikovsky is rightly famous for his work with ballet. He's one of the greatest composers for ballet ever in our history. So his sense of music and the pulse that relates to dance, of course, is inbuilt in the man as well.
Another reason that the piano concerto is so unique, when you first start listening to it, it does feel more like a symphonic work as opposed to a concerto. We have the melody in the symphony that's really soaring out, and the piano is playing a different role with these big chords that continue on and on and on. How unique is that in the world of concerti?
It is absolutely unique, and I used already earlier in our conversation the word iconic. It has become the sound of the great heroic piano concerto, those chords against that soaring melody, which is so Tchaikovskian, if we make up an adjective, that is a moment, one of the moments in music history. So it's what everyone swoons over with good reason.
You know, it's funny that you should mention storytelling, because the other piece on this program is the Romeo and Juliet Fantasy Overture, and this is one of quite a few pieces in Tchaikovsky's repertoire that are literally inspired by pre-existing stories.
That's right. And Tchaikovsky tells it beautifully. He had to be talked into it by a colleague composer who actually even suggested themes to him, specific themes. And I actually don't know how far Tchaikovsky followed those specific suggestions, but he was, in a way, talked into doing it. And then when he was done, he said, well, it was a complete natural. Of course I had to do this. But so if you can imagine, you're wanting to tell the story of Romeo and Juliet, what musically, without literally words, there's no chorus, there's nothing like that. What themes might you come up with and how would you do it? Well, Tchaikovsky, of course, has a very solemn kind of chorus of winds that gives a sense of Friar Lawrence and that kind of, well, that religious solemnity, that's an anchor to the whole story. In a way, that's kind of the referee. And if you think about the whole story, if you think of God or good and bad as the referee to the whole story, the sad story. So you have Friar Lawrence. Then you have music that's expressive of the tension and the strife and the warfare between the two families. And Tchaikovsky is great at that. I mean, you don't have to go to the to the overture of the war of the 1812 overture to hear, you know, music about strife and warfare. And then there's the love music, and nobody was really much better at a love theme than Tchaikovsky. So we have this storytelling, and you'd say, well, that's great. He could have written program music. And in the second half of the 19th century, the musical world was trying to figure out, does a piece have to have a classical form, or can it just tell a story? Well, if Tchaikovsky had set himself loose, he wouldn't worry about sonata form. Mm. But he felt constrained to actually have the typical recapitulation, the typical repeat of the opening music that fits into that form. So it's fascinating. He tells the story at the same time he fits it into classical form, which is expressive of the big tension for him as a composer and as a musician throughout his career. He wanted to honor the forms at the same time that he wanted to tell stories. We're the beneficiaries because he succeeded wonderfully. If someone who's a layperson really doesn't know how to understand how that worked out, it does result in a fair amount of what you'd call repetition, because Tchaikovsky's melodies tend to be complete in themselves. Mm. They're not in little pieces. It's not like it was a beautiful day. The beautiful day had clouds, and there was a forest there, and then gradually description. It's one statement of the beautiful afternoon had clouds and deep shadows in the forest and a lake thereby. A complete statement that then you hear a second time. And so that's not like what Beethoven did. You take the melody part and its logic and develop it. So in spite of that, or maybe because of it, we love this repetition of these entire glorious melodies that fitted ballet wonderfully, but it works wonderfully in the concert hall as well.
For every concert, the orchestra chooses a community partner to work with and to spotlight. Can you tell us a little bit about the community partner you're working with this time?
Well, we are return partnering with the Greater Peoria Honor Flight, which is a wonderful organization that's been going for quite a number of years. It was inspired really by a personal story, some folks who wanted to honor a veteran and do something meaningful for the veteran and get him to the memorial to the veterans in Washington, D.C. And so it has become a tradition. I think it's three times a year that they will actually, this organization will fly veterans and bring them to the memorial and have a day, a visit to Washington, D.C. that honors them and their service, and then returns them the same day. So they've just had another one of them last week on the 23rd, and this is an amazing schedule. You know, they all have to be at the airport 4 in the morning or something, or fly at 4 in the morning, get over to Washington, D.C., have this huge day, and fly back and arrive back around 9 p.m. And so I was fortunate enough to be at the airport last Thursday evening and welcome them back. And it's really moving and touching. They deserve our respect and our gratitude. You know, there was that expression, the greatest generation. To me, it's not just about World War II vets. To me, the veterans, all of them, alive and dead, that's one generation in my mind that spans all of the generations, those who have chosen to give of themselves in that way. We all owe them a great debt of honor and gratitude, and thank you to the Greater Peoria Honor Flight that they do this very meaningful thing for our vets.
We've been talking with David Commande, music director of the Heartland Festival Orchestra. Their current season comes to a close this weekend with the concert Triple Shot of Tchaikovsky. The performance is tomorrow night at 7:30 at Five Points in Washington. David, thank you again for being with us.
Thank you, Nathan.
And this weekend marks the kickoff of the 7th annual Canton Art on Main Fine Art Festival. The festival takes place in Jones Park in Canton, Illinois, and will feature local food and wine, live music, art activities, as well as some of the finest art by Midwestern artists. For more information, you can visit cantonillinois.org.
And Cornstalk Theater is opening its summer season with the musical Shrek, based, of course, on the animated Disney film. Performances begin tonight and continue through next Sunday in the Tent Theater in Peoria's Upper Bradley Park.
Out and About is a production of Peoria Public Radio and Arts Partners of Central Illinois. Each week, we connect you to the arts community by talking to local arts leaders and performers.
Our producer is Sierra Doss. You can learn more about Peoria Public Radio at our website, peoriapublicradio.org. I'm Nathan Irwin, and this is Out and About.